Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus this morning. Happy celebration of our Reformation, which happened on Reformation Day, October 31st. We're blessed to be able to celebrate that together this morning. And the Reformation was an amazing period in time when people were standing up for their faith and going up against earthly and governmental authorities to stand up for the Word of God. And it's marvelous, and we celebrate it. But the Reformation was all about Jesus, and Jesus is still, of course, the main focus of our worship and of our lives. Also, the amazing reality is God still doing Reformation inside each one of us, each and every week and each and every day through His Word and sacraments. And so He continues to do Reformation work as we go about our lives in Christ. Blessed to be together this morning. Thanks so much for being here. Our service will begin with a processional hymn, hymn 578, Thy Strong Word, a most appropriate hymn for our celebration of the Reformation. But we also greet those who are joining us on the radio this morning. Thanks for tuning in to our service. For our processional hymn, we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able, and we'll sing this hymn together as the cross and the banners process in towards the altar. So if you would, please stand with us, and we'll sing hymn 578, Thy Strong Word.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 34 and Psalm 119. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will speak of your testimony before kings, O Lord. I shall not be put to shame. We join in our Kyrie this morning.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning, our celebration of the Reformation, comes from Revelation in the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. If you were in our Bible study this morning, this is the text we chose to study for this Reformation Day, and the text itself speaks of the righteousness of God. And if you'll notice in the reading, the Apostle Paul writes by the Holy Spirit to make the point that God's righteousness is not revealed in the law, but apart from the law in the gospel, that is, in his mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. That's how God shows us he's righteous. We begin in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Would you join us in singing our doxology?
Grace, O throne of blessings, Lord, grace in our grace.
We confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not by name, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day for today? It's hymn 656, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There were two fish swimming together along in a pond, cruising in the same direction, just swimming along. When they encountered a third fish who was swimming toward them, the third fish sees the other two and hollers out, "Hey boys, how's the water?" Then he swims on past. The two fish keep swimming along together, and finally one of the fish looks at the other fish and says, "Do you know what that guy was talking about? What's water? What's water?" Could it be that we're living immersed, so immersed in something in our lives that we don't even realize it's there? What if I told you the answer is yes? Yes, indeed, we absolutely are. But what is it? Strangely enough, it's something that we think about only in connection with church. But really, we're swimming in it all week long, every day. We're swimming in the water of liturgy. Whenever we hear that churchy term, you know, that we say liturgy, we only think about, well, church. But the fact is, we live immersed in it. Liturgy isn't just a church thing. Liturgy is a life thing. Now, if you don't know what liturgy is, don't panic. It's okay. A lot of times we don't. Liturgy is a fancy word for worship practices. Okay? Worship practices. And guess what? It isn't just at church that we engage in worship. Our great reformer, Martin Luther, when he talked about idolatry and the first commandment, he talked about an idol as anything that we would seek our comfort, our peace, our security, or our contentment from. He says, whatever you look to for peace and security and comfort and contentment from that thing, then that is your God. Or in our case, our idol. For some, it's money. Oh, they feel really comfortable when the bank account's full. There's not a lot of anxiety in their life. But boy, when it gets low, now it's frantic time. That money's giving them security and contentment. That's idolatry. God is supposed to give us those things, and does, but our hearts look for them in other things, in created things of the world. For some, it's their success. They're content if they feel like they've been successful. For others, it's their self-image. If they can maintain their reputation, then they don't worry about too much other issues. For some, it's pleasing other people. If everybody around you is okay, then you can be content and secure and happy. But if not, it's pretty uncomfortable. For some, it's living without conflict in their life. And they'll do many things, make lots of sacrifices to avoid having to deal with conflict. There's as many idols as there is sands on the seashore, friends. It's incredible. It can be anything. Another one of the reformers named John Calvin wrote this. He wrote, "Our hearts are idol makers. They take created things and look for their peace and security from those things instead of from their God." Who could argue with this, really? Like, we do it. We really do it. Quite often, all the time, actually. So what has your heart been clinging to lately? What about mine? It helps to be a little introspective of ourselves here, because we can ask the question, what am I afraid to lose? In my own life, me personally, what am I scared to lose? When we ask that question, it can help us, because we can kind of see, yeah, that might be something I'm serving and doing a little idolatry with there in my heart. It almost goes on automatically, right? So this, it's not like pastor's up here playing the blame game or something. No, I'm swimming in the same water as you. It almost goes on automatically, kind of under the hood of our thinking. It's incredible, actually. And God commands us in the first commandment, as we all know very well, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So seek that contentment and that comfort and that security, Christian, in your God, not in our stuff or in created things that are made with hands. Maybe the outcome of Tuesday's election has become a little bit of an idol for you. If your candidate wins, you'll feel content and secure and at peace. But if your candidate loses, beware, Christians. Our hearts are idol makers. Trust in God no matter the outcome on Tuesday. He's way bigger than the United States of America. So what does this have to do with that word, that church word that I brought up earlier, liturgy? Well, see, idols demand worship. They demand service. They demand devotion, even sacrifices. And when we have a false god, there's usually a liturgy or worship practices that go along with it. Let me give you some examples. Take the NFL, for instance, okay? Everybody here at Trinity knows that I love football. It's awesome and amazing. Go Birds. But notice how liturgical or worship-based it can become. See, for many, Sunday morning is not church day. It's football day. And when they awake, they get some coffee and their liturgical activities commence. Grab the cooler, stock the fridge, load the vehicle, or prepare the snacks. Call friends, grab the tickets, or the remote. Wear the right clothes, colors matter, logos matter. And they make their weekly pilgrimage to the game or to the couch. They're in their communal fellowship with all eyes fixed together on the teams, the scoreboard, the end zone. And with every snap of the ball, the liturgy moves closer and closer to its object or its goal, the winner. Fans scream and shudder with elated excitement. They cry out with utter disappointment. It's more than just an intellectual endeavor. It's visceral, heartfelt intrigue that you can feel in your gut. If your team triumphs, then you experience elation, joy, and contentment, albeit short-lived. If your team loses, then you're sad. And not just you. Hundreds of thousands of other worshipers also feel the same experience. The fellowship is real, and it's powerful, and it's liturgy. I'll give you one more example. The shopping mall. Every Saturday, consumers enter their sanctuary, isolated from the hustle and bustle of the city street. Consumers are propped up by the wealth of big corporations to engage in the age-old practice of their religion of materialism. The new outfit, those new shoes, that new jewelry brings joy and elation and excitement. brings hope. Looking forward to the next chance. It brings intrigue, wondering what's going to be on the shelf, what's going to be hanging there for me. The shopping brings a kind of suspense. Hey, retail therapy is real. Okay? It's real. But it's sorely insufficient because it's actually religious and quite liturgical. Everything builds as the shoppers browse the latest trends and they count the costs. Then the blessed sacrament of the retail transaction, the cash register. The buyers are greeted with kindness and service, but there's a catch. They want your cash. And there's a whole liturgy designed to get it. And they break bread in the food court with other strangers and would-be worshipers at table fellowship. And it's easy to engage in this, and yet it's another competing liturgy of materialism. These are just a couple examples, friends, of these life liturgies, which are the water in which we're swimming. They can be as complicated as a daily ritual or as simple as pouring yourself a cocktail at night after work or getting dressed in the latest fashion trends before you go out. And they're as many as the sands are on the sea. These liturgies that we live in. And we're oblivious to them. Completely and totally oblivious. Why can't we see it? How religious our habits actually are. Well, simply put, our thinking is a product of philosophy. The thinking that's going on in your head and mind has been affected by other things that have come to us down through the ages. The one that we're talking about this morning is known as Cartesian philosophy. It's René Descartes. And he wrote these words. He wrote, "I think, therefore I am." As if to posit that the center of a person is their thinking. But it's not the case. And did you know that studies show that less than 5% of what we do on a daily basis is based on reasoned out decisions? Less than 5%. Most of what we do and engage in is habit for us. You ever driven somewhere and wondered how you got there? You didn't remember the road in between? It's because it's a habit to drive. And thinking isn't that powerful either against those habits. Have you ever thought you wanted to change a habit and then you don't? And this philosophy has crept into church too. And the way that Christians think. See, we tend to believe that what God wants, okay, what God wants from us is just for us to think about him more. Just think about God. That's how we define worship. As long as I'm thinking more about him, I think he's happy with me. Brothers and sisters, it's so much more than that. In our gospel reading this morning, when Jesus did not say, "Think about me and you will truly be my disciples." He said, "Abide in me." What's he talking about? What's abiding? It's our liturgies. It's the water that we're swimming in. It's our habits in our lives, the repetition of daily life. He also said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What's the truth? We're all like fish swimming in the waters of idolatrous liturgical practices all the time, and these liturgies are always moving us towards what we truly love. And how many of our personal liturgies can we say each and every week are honestly leading us to Christ? Even though the scripture says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength," our habits and repetitions are taking us all over the place to all kinds of garbage every single week. For this reason, God brings real reformation to you and to me this morning. And he gives us his liturgy, this one, the one that we're right in the middle of, that is repetitious, but so is the rest of our lives, so is your golf swing. We do these same things, these habits, okay, that God brought to us through his word, so that by them we compete with all those other liturgies of our lives. And God works on us under the hood of our thinking and changes us by these daily habits in which, to use Jesus' words, we learn to abide in his church service, in his liturgy. He brings us these great blessings to teach us that all of our life liturgies, because of Jesus and his death and his resurrection, every single life liturgy, get this, can move our hearts toward him. Because it tells us in the book of Colossians that all things are to him and through him and for him, and that nothing that was made was made without him. And that everything's purposed in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can engage in all of these things that we love and all of these things that we get to do. The football player, the quarterback can kneel down on his knees and say a prayer at the game, and it's good. Why? Because Christ redeemed football, and Christ redeemed shopping, and Christ redeemed these things. So that as believers by faith, all things are his. We can do our vocations and live as husbands or wives, live as fathers or mothers, and go through those routines and those services, not in liturgy to false gods or to our own desires, but in service to Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, whatever your hands find to do, do all things as unto the Lord. So by his blessed gift of liturgy and his word, and his cross that he won for us, we can serve him in all of our vocations. We can abide in him each and every day, and he's made all these things new for us. Everything. So we can serve and live in all of our life liturgies for Christ. I pray this Reformation Day is a reformation for us all, so that we can see the water we're swimming in and be wise because the days are evil, and be wise and make sure that even our habits and our daily routines and repetitions can be done in thankful service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thereby move us towards him. That's why he died, for us, to forgive us, to rescue us out of this mess we call life, and so that we're free to live for him no matter what our hands find to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings, an opportunity to give to the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with. As our tithes and offerings are presented this morning, we'll enjoy a Reformation instrumental from our organist. Thank you.
We now come to the time in our service for our prayers of the church. The response for the prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for all your goodness and tender care, especially on this Reformation Festival. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for the revelation of your will and your grace. Implant your word in us and give us fertile hearts to keep it and bring forth its good fruit in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, grant us steadfast in your word and prevent our wayward hearts from following false gospels or serving the idols of our hearts that lead us away from you. Provide your church with faithful pastors who preach in purity and joy, that we are saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. And strengthen, Lord, all church leaders and all congregation members in the fact that your cross and resurrection truly did begin a new creation where we serve you in joy and peace in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, you have great power, and yet you act with mercy. Teach those who lead us to use power rightly for the preservation of order and the accomplishment of justice, the protection of life, and the defense of the weak. Lord, give us wise, godly, and faithful leaders, especially this coming week, who will follow your commands and serve with integrity. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, remember all who face adversity of any kind. Lord, especially we name before you from the altar Dale Lipke, Rob Miller, Cy Cavalletto, Jaden, Joyce Austin, Frank Rendon, Jasmine Cody, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Kenny Rodman, Dick Greitz, Donna Herkey, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Betty Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. O Lord, comfort them by your Holy Spirit, that they would acknowledge their affliction as manifestation of your fatherly will. Trust in you, no matter what happens to them in this life or any of us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have given us the certainty of sins forgiven in your Son, set forth as the propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So lead us to eat and to drink your holy body and precious blood in repentance and faith, now and always. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Preserve your church, O Lord, and each of us as members of Christ's body, that we may not surrender the true gospel for any reason, but be kept in this faith and fear throughout the days of our earthly pilgrimage until that day when we and all your people shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the reward you have prepared for us and all who have loved his appearing through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings
on the rest of your day and your coming week. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so true.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa.